Blog Talk Radio.
I was in the studio.
Voy a vivir a la luna, ya tomé mis decisiones. Voy a vivir a la luna, ya tomé mis decisiones. Solo volveré a la tierra cuando me den vacaciones. Solo volveré a la tierra cuando me den
Welcome to the Community Love Power Show. Let's go to the moon. That is from Afrocubism, A La Luna Yo Me Voy. That's a great way to start the program. I am Yah Elohim, and we are so glad to be here. This is the Community Love Power Show, and we are the latest incarnation of dimensional healing founded by Ma'a of the Fig Tree and Yah Elohim in 2006. This program is hosted by me, Yah Elohim, and Dr. Jata Rahim of the People's Clinic for Traditional Oriental Medicine. Let me open up the line for Dr. Jata. Welcome.
Greetings.
To the program, Dr. Jata. How are you today?
Excellent. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing fantastic. Just grateful to be here. I love doing this, so I'm grateful for the opportunity for us to share with our community. It's all about the love power. What we're going to be talking about today is the heartbreak of hypertension. You know, there's so many diseases that are prevalent at this time that we hear so much about in the media, especially in South Florida. You hear about Zika and, you know, so many other pathologies, AIDS and cancer, et cetera. Breast cancer is very prevalent, and colon cancer, et cetera. So sometimes we forget about the silent killers. And in this case, we're talking about hypertension. Hypertension is a pandemic in our community. There is a higher incidence of hypertension in the Black community, and the Black and brown communities, than in the Asian and white communities. And we want to take some time and explore that this evening. And in addition, we want to look at solutions for hypertension, not merely controlling the symptoms, but what can we do, what kind of lifestyle changes can we make that will have a positive impact on our health and well-being for the long term, which most often means lifestyle changes. So when we take that pharmaceutical that artificially lowers our blood pressure, it doesn't get rid of or eliminate the cause. Those usually require lifestyle changes. So we want to look at lifestyle changes that would eliminate or greatly reduce the need for any type of pharmaceutical that we know does not cure and only exacerbates the symptoms. We're going to start by looking at a clip that I found when I was looking into hypertension and its incidence in the Black community. And as we listen, let's. I want to get your not only you, Dr. Jata, but from the listening audience from our community. I'm opening up the chat room, by the way. Okay. So you can chat in on our show page, blogtalkradio.com/dimensional-healing, or you can call in to 516-387-1141, or you can email us at dimensionalhealing8513@gmail.com. So let's check out the book.
And specifically African Americans, there's obviously we have a much higher rate of high blood pressure. Is it a cultural thing, or is there something else going on that we're just missing? Because I don't eat salt too much. I don't eat fried foods, 90% organic, exercise a little bit. Why do we have higher rates of high blood pressure?
Well, hypertension in the African American community is of endemic potential. And I talked about this a couple of years ago on an Oprah show, and it's created this huge firestorm of articles about what were the real causes. And I remember getting into this big debate. So I've done a lot of homework on this. Let me lay it out for you. Without question, there's a genetic element. When the African American community was brought across, those who came across in the slave ships, the people who were able to survive those inhuman conditions had a unique ability to hold on to salt. And so, those ships would lose half the passengers on them. So those folks who had genes that didn't hold on to salt ended up dying. The survivors came to a new environment and actually benefited them while they were young. That they could maintain salt, because with salt they could maintain water in their bodies. So they could survive those inhumane conditions. But now fast forward 200 years to a society where you don't have those headaches anymore. Now all you've got is a genetic limitation that leads to high blood pressure. That's one issue. Mm. And that's why some African Americans, especially men, are very sensitive to salt. A lot aren't. But the ones that are have to be really cautious about salt. Second big issue, obesity. In the African American community, you've got a lot of it. And you've got food sources that generally are not only full of salt, but all kinds of other junk. And the brain is looking for nutrients, not calories. So you get extra weight on board and you get hypertension because the omentum, that big belly fat, squeezes on the kidneys, which regulates your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the second big thing. The third issue, and this is maybe the most important, in many of our communities, you don't feel empowered. You don't feel like you got a future. If you're unemployed, if you've been incarcerated, if you don't feel like you count, like you're invisible to society, that's stress. It's a chronic stress. It's very different from being late for work.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to high blood pressure. Put those three things together, a societal disadvantage where you don't feel like you can control your life, the extra weight that's often on board with the bad nutrition, and a genetic predisposition, you got a trifecta leading to high blood pressure. Now, every one of those things I mentioned is addressable. Every one of those things can be managed by you better than by me. I can give you drugs for it, but you can manage it better than I can. And that's the plea I have today, is to get you to realize you control your destiny and act on blood pressure. It's the number one ager of all.
Okay, so Dr. Jata, I'm opening up the line for you again. Can you comment on that, please? What he was saying, Dr. Oz was saying in terms of the high incidence of blood pressure being genetic from the that the African Americans that survived slavery, it was a genetic predisposition to hold on to salt.
I think he has some validity there. However, I think the data has to be taken on a wider scale. Is it just African American that have this disposition, or African Jamaicans? What about Africans in Africa that didn't go on the slave ship? Do they have the same disposition? So I think the jury is out a little bit on some of the assumptions that were made, but I do see the trend of the argument that he's dealing with. I think definitely the lifestyle changes is very, very important in people, and I can see if you're not in a slave ship anymore, your lifestyle is going to be changing somewhat. But the fact that what we have to do as citizens is we have to take more data from ourselves. We have to get ourselves.
May I ask you to mute your computer? Because we're getting the chat along with you speaking, and it's a little confusing.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. There was some background noise, but I don't hear it anymore, so great. So you were saying we need to be able to provide our own data.
Yes, I think everybody should be monitoring themselves, monitoring their blood pressure, get some type of equipment, take it when you're not working, take it when you're working. Do that. Take it in situations where you know that you're going to be stressed. And compile some type of documentation for pros and cons and whatever activity that we can think about and we get stressed about, whatever activity we can think about and we don't get stressed about, we should either increase or decrease those activities in our lives. For instance, if somebody's home on the weekend and they've been taking their blood pressure over the weekend and it's fine, and as soon as they think about the job on Sunday morning, just by thinking about going to work, the blood pressure goes up, then changes in our lives that we have control over.
Excellent point. Well taken. And it's true that in the workplace in general, in the office work environment, is one of the most unhealthy environments. And there is hypertension endemic in those communities. What kind of things can be done for those people who have a sedentary lifestyle? Some of it's obvious, like, you know, exercise more, et cetera. But give us some recommendations, please, that to at least revisit the things that contribute to wellness and radiant longevity in regard to hypertension.
I think the office environment, like you mentioned, or the work environment has to change. The money that the companies are spending on medical bills, if they invested some money into a different infrastructure in the workplace, for instance, one of my clients, I go by his office and I perform chair massage or arm massage once a month. And he's found out that his bottom line increases once the people are de-stressed. So the working environment has to have more breath and movement work, more feng shui. The whole climate of work has to change for them to have less absenteeism and less hypertension within their working staff. They need more breaks, different lighting system at work, more stretching and communal walking. So, you know, if they're really interested in profit, which every business is, I think they have to look at the human profit. If the humans can be in a better condition of being less stressful, they will be inclined to produce more work. But I think we're looking at it from the wrong angle.
Mhm. Yeah. And that's absolutely right. And we really are about solutions. We revisit the problem. There's a plethora of information that's available online and in libraries and even in medical offices, in magazines, et cetera, in the popular media about hypertension. That being said, it's still an epidemic and actually endemic in certain communities. So with all the information that's out there, it doesn't seem to be affecting the cure. And it's a somewhat neglected disorder just, you know, by virtue of the fact that who suffers from it the most is low on the totem pole in the hierarchy, so to speak, of healing and reversing conditions. We're going to look at autism in one of our upcoming programs. And just by comparison, the amount of funding and resources for autism that is available is stunning. It's amazing. And that's because of the population that it affects. So we'll look more at, you know, at that in another program and look at some of the causes, et cetera. But this relatively new condition that has arose over the past 20 years compared to one that has been endemic in the community for hundreds of years, and the funding comparison and the interest in the public and things that happen in terms of events and fundraising and visibility are amazingly different. In the fact of talking about solutions, we are offering a solution, which is the Living Foods Certification course that's coming up in October. One of the reasons that this program is on the air is to let you know about some of the things that we're doing. So we're going to, for our break today, we're going to listen to a promotion about our Living Foods Certification course that's coming up in October, and I promise to take us off mute when we come back. Set this out.
Greetings, this is Dr. Jatta.
And this is Yah Elohim, and we are the People's Clinic, home of On Point Acupuncture. Remember, we're the accessible practitioners, available to you via phone, text, email, and social media. Reach out to us, and we will call you back within 24 hours or less. We are so excited about our upcoming Living Foods Certification class from October 8th through October 29th of this year. Learn the secrets of coaxing greater nutrition and turning your foods into nutrition powerhouses. Classes include sprouting and juicing on October 8th. October 15th is the classical, ancient, and modern theories of food. On the 22nd of October, we are presenting fermenting and dehydrating, and we are sealing it up with tonic soups, herbs, smoothies, and other delights on October 29th.
We have a lot of hands-on therapy, also an extensive question and answer period after each class, and from this you will gain confidence and self-empowerment.
And all of those who complete the class will receive certification in Living Foods Preparation. That's Saturday, October 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th at 10 a.m. For more information, check out our website, The People's Clinic for TOM.com. That's The People's Clinic, the number 4, T like in Tom, O like in Oscar, M like Mary.com. Email us at The People's Clinic for TOM at gmail.com, Facebook, The People's Clinic for TOM, and to reach Dr. Jatta directly, dial 786-222-9526 regarding therapies and to schedule an immediate appointment. For all questions concerning registration, location, payment, and anything else, dial Yah Elohim, 561-855-0593. Join us. It won't be the same without wonderful you. See you there.
See you.
So there you have it. I remember to unmute us this time, and welcome back, Dr. Jatta. I wanted to talk. We've got like 12 minutes or so left. The program goes so quickly. It'd be so wonderful to go to the one-hour platform. I'm looking forward to that. I wanted to talk a little bit about the metaphysical, emotional component to hypertension. I found an article online. I sent it. Oh, let me put it in the chat. I should have done that already. But let me put this article in the chat. It's all about getting back on board with all these little technical skills that we need. Okay, that article that I just deposited into the chat room, and it's talking about the emotional and metaphysical components of hypertension. And I'm going to just read a little bit up out of it for a couple of minutes, and then I'd like us to talk about it. Feel free to call us, call in to the program. The phone number is 516-387-1741. That's 516-387-1741. Or you can go to blogtalkradio.com/dimensional-healing and go into our chat room, or you can email us at dimensionalhealing8513@gmail.com. So this article talks about high blood pressure is the second most common reason for medical office visits in the U.S. Okay, so that really gives us insight into how prevalent this is. Important complications. You look at our flyer. Those who are on our e-list, you got the flyer that talks about some of the effects, the long-term effects of hypertension, eye and brain and heart and so many different parts of the body, a kidney, are affected by long-term hypertension. Check out our show page, and it also, by the way, has links to this show as well as Your Community Science Class Archives, our award-winning program that was a featured program in Blog Talk for years. And then also you'll see the link for the Living Food Certification class and one thing that we haven't mentioned thus far, which is the community liver clinic that's coming up in the spring. And it says in this article, important complications of uncontrolled or poorly treated high blood pressure include heart attack, congestive heart failure, stroke, kidney failure, et cetera, which we detailed in our flyer. So let's talk about what the medical community has said about the emotional root. Well, actually, the one of the causes of hypertension. This is not the emotional root, but we will get to that. And those of you who have logged into the program, if we go over, if you're in chat, then you will be able to continue past the 7 o'clock hour. This program is a little over. So remember that. And also, when you listen to the archives, you get the fullness. Okay, so it says, this is in medicine.net, and if you go to the article that I placed in the chat, you can get the link for this other article. And it says, the vast majority of patients with essential hypertension have in common a particular abnormality of the arteries, an increased resistance, stiffness, or lack of elasticity in the tiny arteries that are most distant from the heart. The peripheral arteries are arterioles. The arterioles supply oxygen-containing blood and nutrients to all of the tissues of the body. The arterioles are connected by capillaries in the tissues to the veins, which is the venous system, which returns the blood to the heart and lungs. Just what makes the peripheral artery stiff is not known. So then she says in her article, this stiffness is significant. Let's consider what came to her in meditation. Energetically, high blood pressure is about stressful, unrealistic pressure you place on yourself. This pressure often leads to a sense of overwhelm, helplessness, frustration, and exhaustion. Being too rigid in your expectations, you find it difficult to trust yourself or others. Okay, let's get your comment on that aspect, Dr. Jaka, please.
That's a very valid point. We are wired to be overachievers. Everything is over and over and over, or super, super, super. Super mom, overachiever. All of these things are blindsiding us from really getting to know our divine self. In other words, knowing the breath within you. The human being is wonderful that we can plan ahead, we can have dreams and ideas, but I think it has to be tempered with everything else in life. The overly ambitious, the one that wants to get everything done within the 24-hour schedule, wants to dot every I and cross every T, this is inherently bringing stress on us. Maybe we're in this position because we think that's how we have to function in our social network. We have to be overachievers. We have to be busy. I think a lot of these things we have to deprogram ourselves from and do what you can, do it well, and still some find some time within you to regenerate you.
Absolutely. I so agree. And going back to our flyer again, because I'm going to definitely promote our flyer because it's such a wealth of information. You'll actually see Dr. Jaza demonstrating some of the things that we can do to relieve hypertension. And it's so wonderful that when you do consider to take our living food certification class, you get the nutritional side, because all the foods that are being provided in the class are healing and regenerative and restorative. And so you get the ability to be able to prepare these foods for yourself, which is a dying art. And it's interesting to note that with the increase in disease is the decrease in people preparing their own food and more relying on food sources outside of the home. So when, you know, the same article, we start to look about what we can do emotionally to address high blood pressure. Give yourself a break. Relax your standards. Surrender your need to control, to know the outcome, or to be right. Find compassion for the imperfections in life and notice all the imperfections of nature that actually made it. So it's so wonderful and relaxing. Discover the humor and human imperfections. So it is also believed that inflammation may be a predictor of hypertension. So if we're eating a diet of foods that we're allergic to, for example, it may be stimulating an inflammatory response or putting our body under too much stress. And if we have toxins such as bacteria, metals, parasites, yeast, molds, or viruses, they create significant stress on the body. So the other aspect is what's being identified here is that the foods that trigger inflammation in the body, the hypertension, may actually be a warning sign for inflammation. Which is, what's your perspective on that, Dr. Jaza?
I concur with that. And this is another thing too that we'll be getting in the living foods class: eating foods that will be anti-inflammatory and avoiding those foods or the preparation of food to make them inflammatory.
Mm-hmm.
Basic things we have in our daily intake exacerbates the hypertensive situation. The salts, the sweets, the sugars, as opposed to the herbs that are known to increase circulation, cayenne and anti-inflammatory and antibacterial herbs like garlic and ginger and turmeric and cumin. And so many other things we should be having on our table as either condiments or prepared in the food that we eat. So knowledge of food selection and food preparation is very, very important in the hypertensive skirmish we're having.
Amazingly, and as I read this article, you know, I have to resonate with it. And just even on a personal level, one of the reasons why this show evolved is because I took my blood pressure just for a routine medical exam, and I had hypertension, and it kind of blew me away because I consider myself to be like, at least moderately healthy. And, you know, I don't eat salt, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of things that the woman had said in that Dr. Oz clip would pertain to me. But also on the emotional side, she relates to growing up in an emotionally stressful home where expectations for performance were unreasonably high. Many of us had parents that had no idea of how to be with their frustrations, and we didn't learn proper methods of learning how to be with anger, true lesson, which anger is for a reason, which the primary reason is to change the situation. Some of us come from families with rigid political or religious views, and we learn to hold on tightly to our perspective. We ate sugary and carbohydrate-laden foods that critters such as bacteria, yeast, molds, and parasites feed on, and we may have learned very little about how to keep ourselves physically fit. We grow up to work in stressful environments where the same habits we learned at home are repeated. Now, 72 million people in the U.S. are diagnosed with hypertension. Isn't that real? But that's not a surprise. And all the things that you were just saying, Dr. Jatta. So, you know, we're going to continue this conversation because we're at the top of the hour. The program is over. But we want to remind our listeners, those who listen live and those who listen to the archives, we've got a huge archive component, you know, and eventually I trust that the archive listeners will become live listeners and contribute their perspective. But we want to look at the relationship because our next program coming up on Wednesday, which I believe is the 14th, is about PTSD and hypertension and the connection. There is a connection. We didn't get to cover it in the program today, but we do want to look at PTSD primarily, but to examine the relationship between PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, and hypertension. And I will spill the beans by letting you know there is a relationship between the two. Cardiovascular disease, PTSD, and other cardiovascular problems, as well as hypertension. So I wanted to thank you for coming to the program today. This is Yah Elohim and Dr. Jatta Rahim. What would you like to leave our audience with today, Dr. Jatta, in terms of the closing thought, heartfelt feeling?
We have to be more aware. Know thyself. You have to be more self-aware of our activities, how we do it, when we do it, et cetera, et cetera. When the anxious feeling comes upon us, the feeling it comes upon us because of a situation we're in or one that we're thinking about. So we have to be more in tune with ourselves, in tune with our breathing. That will be able to show us where situation compromise our health and where it really add to our health. So let's be more proactive in checking ourselves to see where we are, how we're feeling, making note of that, and also note the time and place where we do feel good, and augment that to offset the tension areas of our lives.
And that's so well said. So check out our Living Foods certification class coming up in October. You can get the link to register through the marketing email for this program. You can also email us at the People's Clinic, the number 4TOM at gmail.com. That's the People's Clinic, 4TOM at gmail.com. You can check out our website, the People's Clinic, 4TOM.com. That's the People's Clinic, the number 4, T like Tom, O like Oscar, M like Mary. com. You can also call Dr. Jatta, 786-222-9526 for an immediate appointment, and you can call me, Yah Elohim, 561-855-0593. Any questions, concerns, or any additional information that you would like to have. So we look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to sharing with you this coming Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. as we look at post-traumatic stress disorder and the relationship with hypertension. This is Yah Elohim. Love you to life.
Nibana Levi.